Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for soul growth. Come journey with us through astrology's energetic cycles and get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Hello, I'm Sue Minahan, Talk Cosmos. Today is May 5th. We're right in the middle of spring, and it's beautiful, and my light went out, so you get shiny glasses today. So there you go. But what are we going to talk about? We're talking about spontaneous potentiality, because this new moon in Taurus is feeding a whole canopy of new potential. Life, Taurus in its essence, is when spirit comes into form. So it's really feeding that survival, that sense of self-reliance and our resources, everything that we exist, that spark that came to this earth. So we're urged always to reconsider our values, our purpose, our meaningfulness. And that's why we have archetypal symbols, which is a wonderful panel that we are now going to introduce. Thank you.
Synthesizing the new moon consciousness through archetypal Sabian symbols, numerology, lunar mansions, tarot, and astrology, all together illuminating a new moon vision story, this is your Archetypal Symbols panel.
I am Sue Rose Minahan, founder of Talk Cosmos since 2018, an evolutionary astrologer and student of vibrational astrology, a consultant, workshop facilitator, lecture speaker, writer, Dwarf Planet University graduate, charter member of Kepler Astrology Toastmaster Club, hold an AA degree and Associate of Fine Arts Music degree, and Certificate of Fine Arts in Jazz. I'm an artist, musician, mythologist, and pursue esoteric philosophies.
I'm Elizabeth Liz Michette, a professional astrologer, intuitive, numerologist, and tarot reader. I am a certified sacred healing counselor, providing nurturing in-depth consultations for individuals and couples. I am an author, blogger, speaker, and international Reiki master and teacher. I create safe space in which to explore the deeper patterns of your life, to clarify your current circumstances and help you find your best path forward.
And I'm Justin Crocodelzi, an archetypal Jyotish astrologer, yoga and meditation teacher, and author. I combine both Western ancient astrology and modern psychological astrology with Eastern Vedic astrology, and I specialize in predictive, electional, and karmic astrology for individuals and couples. I also do in-depth astrological research into arcane astrological concepts, focusing on the mystical, occult side of astrology.
Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift." And that's why it's called the present. Yes, indeedy, we open up our gift today. Hi. Hi, Justin. Hi, Liz. It's good.
Hi, Sue. It's great to be back.
Yes, and what I hadn't mentioned, perhaps just to begin on a thought collectively, is that we just experienced eclipses that were powerful as we continue along with that conjunction between Jupiter and Uranus. And so we're energized by all these dreams and motives. So I'm looking forward to this moon in Taurus feeding those dreams. How do you feel? What's your thoughts about these root values?
Well, it's like we get to make some new plans and goals for the next 14 years because we have this supercharged new moon. Mm-hmm. Really close to the degree of when Jupiter and Uranus conjuncted a few weeks ago. And they're conjunct the moon too. So it's like, ask for everything that you want.
Liz, you inspire, you just give me hope.
But I'm going to play the devil's advocate here a little bit. In order for this new moon to manifest, you have to actually let something die and let go. Because there's the opposing Scorpio aspect to this, that it's all about something has to be let go of attachment in order to, for new fields to new way of being. So,
this actually helps sustain this concept. Thank you both, because I'm realizing, what can I let go? Well, there's values. There's ideas about what am I partnering with? It's not who necessarily, it's with. You know, it's very much the conceptual belief system of my the value of everything plus myself or my time. So it's manageable. Thank you. I'll remember this. Onward, let go, be, etc. Nate, we're ready for, yes, thank you. We have Justin Crockett LC. You can find him at his website, Justin Crockett LC, and Elizabeth Liz Mouchette, A Light Path, and myself, Talk Cosmos. I am coming up with another site, but right now we're talking about archetypal symbols. We synthesize the new moon to refocus, as Liz presented, and envision and realign those intentions. So let's talk about what this represents as an archetypal seed. It's 18 degrees, 2 minutes of Taurus, and it is Earth. It's fixed on a natural, it would be naturally holding in the second house, but of course, each of us are in a different spot. Mine happens to rule the ninth, and most of my planets are in the eighth. So Justin and Liz, how would you like to discuss some of these concepts?
Well, Taurus is grounded. It has a strength. It's about our finances and investments. It's artistic, music. It helps us to ground because we've had a lot of energy lately that has kind of pulled people out of their bodies or to be ungrounded. So I would think that there'd be some way to help reground us.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, you know, after this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, this is almost like whatever ideas came out of that conjunction, now it's time to put those into action on a new moon.
Thank you. It is self-reliant. I think I have to remember that. Venus, which rules Taurus, also rules Libra. But Taurus is asking us about ourself, not the other person's resources.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I might point out, you notice with the shadow here is resistance to change. And the again, I'm going to go with the opposing sign, that death is an aspect here, that something has to change in order for us to gain abundance.
And so, that good point. Exactly. And as an axis, it is Taurus Scorpio. And Scorpio is everything about purging, which I know the Nishaka is going to emphasize.
And the sapient symbols also mention purging, too.
very good. So there's a holistic, as always, and that's the beauty of this. Because to give space for that cup that we want filled, we need to open it up. But also, we want growth. And Taurus can get in a rut because it gets so comfortable. I didn't put that down.
Well, if you want new wine in your cup, you got to pour it out and clean out the cup, or pour out the old wine, right? So
yes.
And it can be as simple as cleaning out a closet.
Absolutely. Or your files. Thank you very much. Ideas, stick them in a file, then what? Here we are with the numerology, and 1-8 adds up to 9. And it's very fascinating because it's 1 and 9 is beginnings and endings. But beyond that, they each have their emphasis. And that Lemniscate figure is the infinity figure down there. And it happens to have two dots, like the Taoism, which always represents each hole holds the beginning of the next thing. There goes my light. Go ahead, Liz.
Well, yeah, and it's just emphasizing letting go or letting something die, like Justin said, and, you know, getting ready to move forward with a new project or a new idea.
And I might point out that 8 is the number of money in Chinese astrology. So we are talking Taurus energy here. So there is this manifestation and abundance aspect with the 8.
It's very powerful. It is a prosperity and power, because money is an exchange that you can then use to exchange other things. So it's all a beautiful number, really, 18. And thank you. As we ebb and flow, finish up, and begin new things. Tarot also has a conversation to talk about. It's the trump card number 5, Liz.
The Hierophant, and it corresponds to the sign of Taurus. It's about sacred space, spiritual knowledge. The two pillars are the polarity of spirituality and the mundane world. So, you know, bridging that and the middle ground. And the shadow side would be controlling and dictatorial.
I love the middle ground part because, like the tree of the ceiba tree in Guatemala, our roots into the ground and the leaves going to the heavens, and we are that trunk. I mean, again and again in old mythology. But again, having this total idea, I hadn't realized this about the tarot card, but then I'm a learning person on it. So I appreciate the two pillars concept. And Justin?
No, she's got it covered.
Yeah, we're grounding and reaching. And that happiness from the heart, Venus, heart also. And it all combines.
Justin, Liz, go ahead with this one.
No, you go ahead, Liz.
Okay. The Empress card is the third trump card and corresponds to the sign of Venus. She carries the energy of Earth Mother, a nurturer, and about fertility. And she's often referred to as being pregnant with possibilities, creation of life, art, and romance. And the shadow could be materialism.
Always when we consider the matter too much of things and we forget the spirituality, which again and again, astrology, mythology, tarot, numerology, the nakshatras all remind us we are in partnership with spirit. And I might remind that this really helps us with spontaneous potentiality. That's the focus.
And I'll just point out, just for those who are wondering about how astrology relates to the tarot, is that the sign of Taurus relates to the Hierophant, and Venus, the planet, relates to the Empress. So it's the sign and the planet that are related to the two cards.
Beautiful. And on a further focus, the minor arcana also represent planets. And these are for Taurus. We've been going through, if people want to go through the other Aries and Pisces, Aquarius. I don't know when we quite began this series, but we're in a series now. And go ahead, Liz and Justin.
Well, Justin, do you want to do this one?
Sure. So this actually comes back to the Golden Dawn, the occultist, and they assign the astrology to the tarot. And so the Five of Pentacles, which is related to Mercury in Taurus, if Mercury was in Taurus, is called the Lord of Material Trouble or Worry. And then the Six of Pentacles is ruled by the Moon in Taurus, and it's called the Lord of Material Success or Expansion. And then the Seven of Pentacles is related to Saturn in Taurus, the Lord of Success, Unfulfilled, or Failure. So we see Mercury, Moon, and Saturn and how they're playing out in the sign of Taurus here. And so we see trouble with resources, success resources with resources, and then are we really fulfilled? What is of value here? So there's a sort of an archetypal story that helps us understand these three pentacle cards.
That's so excellent to see this micro part of it, because again, it relates to, if it's material, then maybe there's another spiritual, what's the universe trying to help us understand? Yeah.
And then this is the Lunar Mansion. So, and in the Jyotish or Vedic astrology, they're called nakshatras. And just like we divide up the zodiac sign and deacons in, you know, the lunar mansions are also a division of the zodiac sign. And it's there's four sections, which are called padas within a lunar mansion or a section of the zodiac sign. If you can go back to that slide.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And so it relates to the stars that are in the zodiac sign and the mythologies that are related to these stars, because there's deities, there's concepts, and each nakshatra has four sections called padas. So for this particular one, the nakshatra is in Bharani, pada in the fourth pada, and the ruling deity here is Yama, the god of death, or also the goddess Kali is related as an avatar of this. And the symbol is the celestial womb. The womb, and we know the womb relates to birth. So we see, again, a birth-to-death aspect here, Scorpio, Taurus. And the keyword theme here is when the moon is in this particular nakshatra and pada, it likes to take deep and dark, there's some darkness associated with this, and bold action can be inhibited, likes to investigate, and likes to purify or purge. And that's why we see here with the basis as above, so below, that there's the energy about this is about removing life from the body and then carrying soul to the ancestors. Again, we see here a transference from death to new life or new birth of something. So that's how this relates.
The dark reminds me that if we're trying to purge something, we may have to go into those hidden areas. And Scorpio is also that. It's hidden. It's underneath. And uncover it. So, and bold is taking a real action. It's not just maybe putting on your list, but actually fulfilling it. And then when you speak of Kali, I love Kali. Creation and death. Create and destroy. Create and destroy. You can't have one without the other. It's always like a evolution of life. Yes.
Right.
Liz?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to the next slide.
Okay. Well, I'm caught with this. I really love the whole idea. I especially love the reminding that there is a basis of love above and below, whether it's Kabbalah, all of these wonderful metaphysical systems that are followed. Remind us of this duality and that we here, this mortal coil that we're living in, isn't the whole nine yards. We're in contact. So thank you. Okay, we will go on. Western mythology. I'm recapping the archetypal synthesis using a story from Western mythology. And because it is Venus that rules Taurus, but also Taurus itself has a mythology I toggled about, and I'll just mention it briefly, that Zeus, who's a shapeshifter, Zeus, and that's a very fascinating idea about Zeus, which is Jupiter, and mythology took on many, many different forms, and in this case came on as a bull. There was the age of Taurus, and the bull in mythology is extremely relevant, and carried away a princess or a woman, however it may be, named Europa. But from that was created Europe. And my point bringing up is the transformational rebirthing of this energy. Because with the Venus birth, Uranus was a primordial god of the skies and would create with Gaia many forms, including the Titan gods, but stuff them in Gaia, Earth. And Saturn, the youngest, removed his reproductive organs, the genitals, in an analogy to stop not only that uncontrolled birthing, but to create time, you could say. And it was, Saturn then ruled this concept with time of endings and beginnings. But it shows out of that, I'm getting a little distracted, out of that came Venus. When he ejaculated, you could say that it came into the ocean and was fertilized into, you might say, the spontaneous potentiality of all that we could desire, depending on those values, depending on how we see things, depending on that heart focus. So it again relates to the essence of the potentiality of love, of manifestation, of change, that one, you know, no longer were the the Titans came into rule. So in other words, it's another sense of transformative experience. Do you, either of you have thoughts about that that you'd like to add?
Oh, you did a good job.
Okay. The Sabian symbols. They are a series that we are going to represent. They're spiritual concepts. There's a past, present, and future. And we're going to do four. We're going to do, as you will see. And right now we're doing the ascendant, the midheaven, and the sun, moon for the Eastern time zone. And the ascendant is going to be 29 degrees Sag, and this is the actual degree. That midheaven is 21 degrees Libra, and the sun and moon is 18 degrees Taurus. And we just might note that the dispositors are going to be Venus for the MC and the sun and moon. But for time, we'll just get right into these. The ascendant at 29 degrees is going to involve the one prior, that's 28 degrees. And then when it gets to 29, because of the system, it jumps to the next, which is going to be Sag, because there's only 30 degrees in any sign. And it's going to be 1 and 2 of Capricorn. So the past at 28 degrees is an old, I don't know if we're going, or I guess we're going to go through all these, an old bridge. And it's a beautiful stream constantly used. It's enduring, the beautiful necessity. Liz, you want to just, we'll kind of recap and jump as much as we can.
Okay, yeah, I like the bridge, how we bridge things. Okay, then 29 Sagittarius is a fat boy moving the lawn of his house on an elegant suburban street. Social respectability.
And then the Sabian Capricorn 1, which is what we're moving towards, is an Indian chief claims power from the assembled tribe. And of course, in the 1 degree Capricorn, this is about authority. Kind of represents the energy of the whole suit. It's authority.
And the future from that Sabian is also in Capricorn. And it's three rose windows in a Gothic church, but one's damaged by war. And it's realizing this whole idea, we might add, about the purging and the waste process of creativity. So it's an interesting idea from the bridge to the to waste.
Yeah, and you know, with that, you know, just to kind of summarize, it just seems like, and we look at the ascendant because that kind of shows how we're moving forward into this situation and we're moving into this new moon. And so we see here sort of this understanding the bigger picture and then how we use our power and authority as we move. And it may mean how we, you know, how we take control, that Capricorn, how we take control with the new moon and manifest something, but that we have to be careful of right power because of that waste aspect,
oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, beautiful.
And I want to add that we missed Sagittarius 30. So I don't know how we did that, but the Pope blessing of the faithful, and the key word is ritual blessings and worship. So,
okay.
So and that's what comes out of it, right? I mean, really.
All righty. At the MC, and again, this is for Eastern time, it's going to be 20 to 23 Libra. And it, from the past, what we're coming from is a rabbi performing duties. So he's bringing on the power of the ancestral traditions to inspire, and it's inherited wisdom. Liz?
21 Libra, Sunday crowd enjoying the beach, oceanic feeling.
Right. And then the Sabian 22 degrees, which is what we're moving towards here, is a child giving birds a drink in a fountain. And this is really sort of about the social concern of others and solicitude and care for other beings.
So the future beyond this growth that possibly we're going forward out of this is a chandelier's voice heralding, that's like dun, 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 dun. The sun rises, bringing attention, a creative, joyous response, that all of this is connected to that joy of life, the whole processes of renewal. Boy, does that give us...
And you know, because the midheaven is kind of that higher goal we're trying to accomplish with this new moon, obviously there's a a light at the end of the tunnel here with sort of this joyous response to whatever we manifest. That's what do you think, Liz?
Oh, yes. And then, you know, like what we've inherited, the wisdom and knowledge that we have. And then, you know, going with inside and feeling that. And it's like, does that feel right at this time to move forward with that? Or do I need to adjust it or just release it and let that belief or wisdom go? Because maybe it doesn't work and have a renewed sense.
That's such a good reminder. Does it feel good again and again? You know, one can get caught up in the ideas and the brain factors of things. So good reminder. So here we are at the sun and moon itself, 18 degrees Taurus. So we're going to go from 17 to 20. And it's coming from a past energy, which is a symbolic. It's a battle between swords and torches, which is perhaps not depending on the past. So we're now being a warrior to fight for the, it is a polarization of what value to go to. Justin?
Liz.
18 Taurus, a woman airing an old bag through the open window of her room, purification.
And then what we're moving towards here is Sabian Taurus is a new continent rising out of the ocean. And here's where we have the surge of new potentialities after a quote-unquote crisis. And this is where spontaneity comes.
And the blessings, again, the wisp for the future. Here we have the whole symbolic keywords. And I'll let both of you speak because this is going, folks, from the ascendant that we're interacting with, our midheaven, which is the highest, into this sun moon, which is our ego persona of emotional, the whole body. So it's a synergetic energy.
Go ahead, Liz.
Oh, well, I think I just want to do the ones for the sun. It's like, to me, a polarization is like you have an opinion and I have opinion. And lots of times just talking with somebody, and if we can change somebody just even 1% or to say, well, I'll listen to that, to me, that changes that polarization. And, you know, so it by listening, it purifies and changes, and then the blessings are granted or like I want to think of it like shower on it. It showered on you.
Right. And I totally agree. And I would just add one thing. You know, I love how we see, and for those people learning Sabian symbols, how it's like it's telling the, where it's, it, this is a story that's happening. And one thing happens and the next thing happens. So then we see polarization of values, as Liz was talking about. We got to purify, let go of something. And then something, a new continent rises or a new way of being comes into bay. You know, we manifest something and out of that comes blessings. And then it gives us back to that, oceanic feeling, a response to life's renewals with something new. So it's a story. It's a sequence of a process of a story here.
Indeed.
With this new moon.
Indeed.
About bridging. And it's like we're bridging with the Sabian symbols because there's kind of two schools of thought on how to use the Sabian symbols of do you round up, do you not round up? And so we've kind of bridged and used four symbols to bridge. And so we're kind of honoring both traditions, which I think is really cool.
Oh, thank you. It is good. And there's such code words here to remind a person if they get lost in something. It's like, oh yeah, that's part of the picture. Well, thank you, Liz and Justin, always. This is archetypal symbols, and we are talking about the 18-degree Taurus new moon. So return with us. We're going to take a quick little getaway, and we're here. We want to talk about the chart itself. All right. See you real quickly.
While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We're currently in the period of Taurus. By leaving a cycle based upon initiation, the energy of Taurus integrates spirit into a solid form of matter that is tangible and physical. It's an earth sign, concerned with self-sufficiency and the values to maintain the strength of a life form throughout its survival.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to newprosupplements.com, we cover the world of animals. This week, May 12th, it's Best Neuroenergetic Balancing, Rasmussen Reset, and Energy Code Sunday on Animal World. Dr. Nels Rasmussen and Linda Rasmussen join us. Together, they can help you or your animal friends with emotional, behavioral, or physical issues. Hope you can join us and plan to call in for your free remote treatments. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Talk Cosmos brings insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for the soul growth with hour-long programs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel and Facebook page. While you're there, make sure you click the like and subscribe buttons so you get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers. And to find out about upcoming programs, sign up for the newsletter at talkcosmos.com. So grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
Alternative Talk 1150, the talk of the sound.
Whew, we are back. Well, we're going to jump right into ourselves and to remind what we do on the side of all this. Elizabeth has a YouTube monthly episodes. Liz, go ahead. Tell about yourself.
Well, I started my YouTube channel this year and I have a full moon forecast every month. And Justin is my guest and co-astrologer. And we do an astrology forecast for each month. And Justin helps me out with that one. And then I have a series, Astrology Star Sisters Talk Over Tea. And I'm up to 3 episodes a month. And Sue is on one of those episodes each month with me. And her and I are talking about the ingress of Venus and Jupiter into Gemini. And then one of the episodes will be the Venus star point in Gemini and the Saturn station retrograde.
It's quite exciting. It's on all our YouTube channels, which is very great. That's either for myself, Justin, and of course, Liz. Justin, and you.
Yeah, and I actually do a monthly Mars forecast. I'm going to be starting a weekly lunar forecast, and I have an Ask the Astrologer series. Also, I'm actually, besides doing the podcast with Liz, I'm also going to be starting a podcast with Michael Bartlett, and we're going to be talking about relationships called The Relationship Guys. So thought I'd go ahead and announce that here. And on June 18th and 19th, I'll also be a part of working with Marie O'Neill, astrologer, and she's got her Harmonizing with the Cosmos Healing Retreat on June 18th and 19th, and I'll be one of the astrologers that's a part of that. So that's what I've got coming up. Plus, I do a lot of consultations every week. So,
well, we'll need to add those too. That's beautiful. I'm glad you and Michael are, that'll be fun. And that's right, Marie does. You're on Marie's retreats. For myself, I'm doing my weekly blogs. This was the Taurus New Moon, which is actually the last one, and the Age of Taurus. So you can check that on the website. And also in my newsletter, I do add it to it. And this is the 4 that I have. Well, I've done 3 so far with Liz from February on. And this month, I think next weekend you can check it out and it'll be Jupiter and Gemini because that is going to be for a year. And of course, on Talk Cosmos, we're also going to talk about that tomorrow. No, next week also. And so I thank you. That's fun. And if you want, for those that are looking for how to sign up, you can, this is a code to go to the website, or you can just take that other. And thank you for doing that. This 18-degree, 2-minute Taurus new moon is going to be on May 7th and 8th. And this is a chart that shows not only the times around the world, some snapshot of it, but also the ascendant that is pertinent to that spot and the planet that rules it. And the interesting part for myself is to realize how that ruling planet plays into the whole chart, because in this case, Venus, of course, rules the new moon. So where that is quite potent. And Mars, and it also rules the South Node. The South Node and Mars, of course, rules the North Node. So here we have times. I'm just going to say that I'm thinking of our podcast people. I really don't know. So I could vocalize it quickly, but for those others. So I will just say that for Washington, D.C., it's going to be at 11:22 p.m. It's Eastern time. Their ascendant is 29 degrees Sag, and Jupiter rules it. Now, if you're in London, and I'll give the other, it's 3:22 a.m. That's universal time, which is also the Greenwich Mean Time, and that's on the May 8th. And their ascendant is at 15 degrees 52 Aries, ruled by Mars. So it's quite fascinating between the two. Here on this slide, it shows that movement around the globe, but it's more about where is it in the quadrants, the house system. And again, we're using Porphyry. There's many house systems. And it is most fascinating because if we're dealing with, even in the United States, two different areas, Pacific Coast and East Coast, or Europe, and we'll just stick to those three right now, it shows the emphasis, as it is Hawaii, where I am, and Pacific are both in the third quadrant. This is in the seventh house. But the ascendant is different. It shifts. But with that said, whereas in the East Coast, it's going to be in the fifth house of creativity. So we're concerned with relationships. The East Coast is about the creativity, and therefore their ruler is Sag, which is Jupiter. So it's Jupiter and Venus, whereas on the Pacific Coast, it's going to be Scorpio. So that's going to be Pluto transformation, or it could be Mars, but Pluto transformation along with that Venus changing our values. So it's a whole different concept. Do either of you want to pick up the one for Europe, or shall I continue to go on? Okay. For Europe, and again, it is locality. The degree could be a little different. The sign might be the same. That's a whole another study. But it is in the second house of resources, and their ascendant is Aries with Mars, but of course the new moon is going to be Venus. So it's going to be that dialogue, you could say, between the South and the North Nodes a lot. And that's the interesting part. Whereas down under in Australia, it's going to be in the ninth house. We are going to move on. The observations.
Can I say one mm-hmm. thing about that, just to kind of summarize? I think for those people wondering about the, you know, what we're really talking about here is astro mapping or astro cartography, and that I think to me it's like the so people understand that wherever you're at on the planet can have a really difference in energy wherever you are on the planet. So it's really about how this new moon is affecting you at your particular location is going to affect you differently energetically because of angles than other places on the planet.
It does work that way. I know you're going to be taking a wonderful class too at Kepler about it. So I've taken some myself. That'll be greatly in depth. I had the time, and I appreciate that. It is really a concept that I think astrologers are working with more and more. Yeah. These observations, just around it, Venus is ruling it. Pluto is retrograde. It just began on the 2nd of May. It will continue until middle of October. Out of bounds are the asteroids, several of them, Vesta of our hearth and home in Cancer, Pallas Athena of wisdom strategy in Sagittarius, and Ceres claiming our nurturing from grief is in Capricorn. But interestingly, all of these, this is about declination, and that has to do about the distance it is from the equator. It's like in latitude. And again, it's an older form of astrology that's really pertinent. It shows another concept and focus. And both Vesta of our hearth and home of in our Cancer, which wouldn't, what could be more close than in Cancer of home, and Athena of strategy and Sag. I mean, that's epitome too of the belief systems, but they are parallel, meaning they're at both 24 degrees. So they're really, we're working, they're unified, you could say, in that working of this Taurian energy that's going forward. But opposing that, opposite in the South Hemisphere, is Ceres and grief. So I think we're really looking at how we can improve our home, our hearth, our whole being, our altar of life in a strategic, using the best of wisdom to nurture ourselves.
Yes. And when you have the two planets at the same declination, Vesta and Pallas, it's like a conjunction when they're parallel. And then a contra parallel is like an opposition, even though Ceres and Vesta are opposite each other.
And they're out of bounds. I guess that's the other focus, is that meaning they are thinking a little bit more independently. They're not in that bound of our 23.44 degrees of the where the sun moves our ecliptic path.
And I might also point out on the chart pattern here, this goes back to the whole archetypal concepts of that we're seeing with this new moon, is that the lead planet is Pluto. Well, again, something has to die. And planet Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth. It's the lead planet here. Something has to die or change in order for us to manifest good fortune and abundance, because the trailing planet is Jupiter, planet of good fortune here. So I think that, again, kind of solidifies that archetypal concept, and that, you know, now Jupiter's separating from a conjunction to Uranus. So it's also about some taking some action from that conjunction that happened, where that burst of spontaneity of inspiration had happened. Now it's time to get going, get something going with it.
Oh, boy, we have an assignment. The pairs are so important in this chart. There's many sextiles, and I think, Justin, you aptly said it's a creative, which creativity is action. And it is that the sextile which connects this energy with that energy. And there are some dynamic patterns which we can discuss more. I have slides for them that were brought up. But that whole conjunction there, right, sitting in Taurus, as we call a stellium, from Venus, the Sun, the Moon, Uranus, and Jupiter. How potent.
Yes, we have a big party in Taurus going on. But that it's a strong energy, all of them working together and conjunct there. It's like, so, you know, the Jupiter and Uranus will help manifest it. And the Venus is like, you know, putting it down on paper. And, you know, what do you really desire and want? Because I would caution to make sure that what you ask for is what you really want, because you might just get it.
Except I'm realizing, and thank you, I'm not accept or anything, but I'm realizing I have this great big calendar, you know, the big kind that you just can, has stick on the wall. Every day you rip it off. Well, I take those back pages, and I just started, when you said put it to paper, I thought, oh, good, I'm doing this. Because ideas can rotate in your brain. I'm saying this for other people because it's new moon, right? And we get all manifest. So what are we asking for? Well, don't get scared asking for one thing, because that's the point of what I'm trying to explain, is that by just using paper, whether it's a circle and then doing a word in the middle and then spiraling off, just brainstorming, we can decide what we want to ask for. It gives us a chance, because in my brain, I might think of an idea and then I spurn off thinking of how that's going to manifest. And then I get lost thinking, well, should I or not? But when it's on paper, it's there in front of you like a map, and you can cross things off, highlight them, move on to the next. So it is.
Mm-hmm. And I might say something about this sextiles, and I'd be curious what Liz thinks about this as well. But I mean, that to me, that sun and moon sextiling Saturn and Pisces, it's about, Saturn and Pisces, I find, is about, putting some discipline into getting something creative out there that's imaginative, but being disciplined about it. And that sun and moon sextiling it and saying, okay, it's time to get going with something here and be disciplined and getting your dreams and imagination out there. And then that sextile with the because Mars is about action, it's conjuncting Neptune, which represents a collective, and it's sextiling Pluto. Even though Pluto's retrograding, still this is lighting a fire under us, I think, creative fire here, again, because Mars and Neptune are in Pisces, like Saturn, creativity here. And then, of course, I think when we look at the Pluto sextiling Pallas Athena there, that this is just a good strategizing type of aspect here, and how we're planning that creativity out. But I'd be curious what Liz also can hear.
I want to jump in though, just on that last point, but Pluto, because Pluto is everything about purging. So right again, that's Kama, which is the lord of the Nakshatra, the Bahama that you mentioned, if I'm saying that right.
Bahrani.
Yeah.
And then yeah. Yama is the god of death.
Yama, yeah. That's it. And so again, this is so clearly saying with Pluto interacting with both our actions, the big vision with Mars, and then our strategy. And you might want to come up, should we do the finger of God, Liz? Or are we going
to want to make a real quick comment that Saturn is going to help manifest. It'll help you do the work to manifest what you want to accomplish. Because there's always usually some kind of work required. But yes, we can go to...
Let's go to that finger of God, because we're really talking about this particular focus. And you had reminded that there is one. It's with the South Node. So again, everything you're both illuminating with the sun and moon sextile to that disciplinary focus. Let's get to the root of things, essential business of Pisces, which if not in Pisces, but in Scorpio, which again is in boundaryless Pisces, which is a conundrum perhaps, but still it's like, okay, it's not material. It might be more spiritual, the whole nine yards, but what do we let go? What is not working with our South Node?
Well, I got an idea for that really quickly, because I know Liz wants to talk about the Thor's hammer there. But
I would say
because the South Node is in Libra, and South Node is like an auger, it brings change. That's about change in relationships. So there's something to do with purging maybe relationships. So who we're working with or what we're working with, relationship with our job or something. But there's a relationship thing happening with the Libra.
Yes.
What do you back to that? I know Liz.
Did you want to?
Liz was going to say something about the Thor's hammer.
Go ahead. Well, and just it's again and again and again we're talking about what needs to be released. It could be you just can't party or take 5 days off a week and think you're going to get everything done in 2 days a week of work. I mean, what has to go? Something. Okay, the Thor's hammer is between Ceres with a square to Chiron and Mercury, and the sesquiquadrates to Juno. So here again, relationship emphasis, and there's some kind of a communication component to it and a nurturing component to it. So it's like our relationships are evolving. Now, sometimes a Thor's hammer can be a little rough because there's a tension there, but as soon as you release that tension, then I feel like you can make progress with that.
Well, it seems to me the beauty of this is to recognize there is a resolution that wants to work out. Because as we know, a square is action. A square, that's all it says, is that you've got to activate something. How you do it is your choice, whether you're going to just go forward with all your aggression or whether you're going to strategize and you have help. But this is the main focus besides looking at everything else. And Thor's hammer, which I had to ask it, what is it? Is a sesquiquadrate. That is a square and a half, folks. 135. I'm just mentioning to everybody else because you wonder, what's 135? Well, it's 90 plus 45. There you go. And so it's got its own sense of action oriented. So this whole thing is action, but it's not an easy thing. It's like Justin went with a hammer. It's like Thor's is like, okay, time out. But here we have Ceres nurturing, and Chiron in with the intellect. That's that little key, the green thing, 21 degrees. They're exactly smack dab together, pretty close, all those degrees. And really, it's like, how are we, it's such a thought process of communicating also of how we're taking those wounds and nurturing them so that, because Juno for me is all about, in the higher level, what are we married to in our relation? What is our alliances? What are we married to it with our alliances? So it's, go ahead, Justin.
No, I didn't have anything. I'm just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Well, and Juno could be that, you know, people can be married to their job. I mean, it doesn't have to be a physical person that you're married to, but it could be a relationship with
your
job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are we aligned to? What? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is not who, but it's what. And that what could be a who. It could be a place. It could be any kind. And that's what we're, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We want to like go to the micro from the macro always. I'm going to go back to, let's see what time, we have time because we're jumping a little bit, which is great. So we have the Thor's hammer, the planetary pairs, which is again, we brought up that Mars and Neptune, which is really activating on our visions. Isn't that going to be gorgeous? And here, though, the North Node with Hygieia. Justin, do you want to, I know you have thoughts about Hygieia, our health.
Well, I think this, you know, this brings up the whole concept of, and kind of an underlying theme here, since Chiron is also there in Aries and Hygieia is in Aries, is how are we being valued in this process? I think that's part of one of those things we have to check off the list as we're evaluating relationship and as we move forward with new things, maybe we, you know, are we being valued or what are we valuing as ourselves in here? So this could also mean where some people may have some trepidation of starting something new. It's Aries, right? Excuse me, I'm being self-confident. And so, how's that going to happen?
Yeah, it's interesting that both Venus and Mars are in their own domicile or own sign. So they have help. I mean, they're connecting with a lot of other energies either through sextiles or a planet, so they're not acting alone.
And so this is about being self-confident in this, in manifesting something, I think.
Self-worth, yeah.
Liz. And with the Hygieia and the North Node, it's like if you want to make positive forward steps in your health regime, this would be a good time to start something on this new moon, you know, whether it's improve your eating or exercise more or, you know, whatever you choose.
Particularly because Taurus, yes, is the body. It is the self, the form. Oh, did we want to talk about these two?
The T-squares, if you want.
Yeah, because they're hidden in that big one. And I did bring up a slide for it. Their T-squares is always when one middle one is working between the other two. It's a triad of thought. And Ceres and Vesta are both asteroids. Ceres, again, is our nurturing. And Vesta is a hearth, as we brought up. So Ceres is really looking, again, towards what's... Any thoughts? Go ahead. I'm not going to...
Go ahead, Liz.
Well, they're almost close enough to be a grand cross, but I kind of use small orbs, so it is like two T-squares, but they kind of connect because they're you know, the one points are in the same sign, so you know, it's like people could have the feeling of being pulled in different directions at this time.
Well, there are purposes. That's right, that's a good point. And again, when we have looking at this, these energy, the nodes are always the path, again, the creation and the yama, kali, purging, letting go, remembering of what value a relationship, what is an alliance that no longer is working for our better good. And how, because we have this dream, we have this action we want to do, right? And how are we going to implement?
And I might say, you know, because of the squares there with Ceres and Vesta, it may also mean changing our community or moving as well, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's see what we have. This is the overall, which is good, but more than that, we just have ourselves. So I'm going to get out of all these. Oh, and there's a past for people with playlists. And go ahead. Let's just talk, the three of us, for our 30 seconds while we have our music going on. I know I'm working on five directions, trying to hone them down to one. What about the two of you?
Well, I'm still purging stuff and doing consultations and moving forward and working on my YouTube channel and moving forward.
And Justin?
Same.
Yeah, I guess we all are new YouTubes. And when we think about it, YouTubes are communication. I was thinking because Jupiter's going to be moving into Gemini, which will be the talk I'm doing with you and this next week. And it's how do we communicate? So we shall continue this and see you next month on Archetypal Symbols.
Thank you for joining an insightful conversation on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests awaken consciousness by connecting soul growth patterns with astrology's energetic cycles. Be sure to tune in next Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathway.